You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
You know, we love all of our teams that serve here at Koinonia. That's how church works. Church doesn't work unless people who are part of the family of God just kind of see how they all fit in. We all fit in. We all have a place of service and ministry in the church, and I just so appreciate each and every servant leader that serves, whether it's guest services, people on the children's teams, people on the production teams, worship teams. I mean, we wouldn't have a church if it weren't for people that served. And so let's just give it up one more time to all of the servants, all of the members of the church that are making that happen. And, you know, there's a place for you. If you're not serving within the church, man, what a wonderful way to connect with others. What a wonderful way to begin to experience how God wants to use you in ministry and see your gifts grow and your place grow. And you're going to find your place if you do that. And you'll really wonder, why didn't I do this sooner? And so I just want to encourage you to press in if you haven't already. Boy, what a wonderful weekend it was at Koinonia Church this weekend on Friday night. The women had an awesome spring event. Any ladies here on Friday night? Wow. I heard it was incredible. And then on Saturdays, you saw we had serve day with hundreds of people all over the city. It was actually a second of two serve days, two consecutive Saturdays. And just a joy to serve with people all over the city and see how God just very practically puts us in this community to communicate that we love this place. And I like being a part of this church because you guys know how to love the community. You know that we're here for a purpose. And so I just love to be able to say that I get to be a pastor in this church. My name is Andrew Cromwell. If it's your first time here today, we really are glad that you're here. You're going to get the sense that we believe God is alive. He's working. He's present. And he has something to say to you today. And I don't know, you know, how you came in this morning, if you came in excited, if you came in depressed, if you came in because your wife told you if you didn't, you were going to be in trouble, or whatever reason you're here this morning. I believe that you're here on purpose, and that God has an appointment with you, that he has a good word for you. And so I'm just encouraged today, and I want to encourage you. That is my goal this morning. My goal is not to beat you up, make you feel bad. My goal is to simply come alongside you and say, hey, God has a plan for you. And if you get in line with what he wants, man, your life's going to be blessed. It's going to be good. And there's some good things in store. So I'm going to teach this morning kind of in a different way than I normally do. If you're familiar with me and my style of teaching, a lot of times I use a lot of notes. I like my points have points and have subpoints. My subpoints have points. And this morning I'm going to do something just a little bit different. I'm going to preach to you this morning. I want to preach something into you this morning. I want to impart something into your spirit today. And it's a message that you may have heard before in many ways. It's certainly one that I preached before. Or maybe not in this particular style, but as I heard one old preacher say one time, is sometimes you just have to preach stuff until the people do the stuff. So sometimes you just keep preaching something because the first time we hear it, it doesn't always mean we're actually going to begin to live it. And how many of you know that we don't need to just know another principle of Scripture? We actually need to do the principles of Scripture. We don't need to just memorize another. Now, some of you do need to memorize some Scripture verses, right? I mean, some of you need to know some Scripture verses. It'd be good. Be good. If you knew something other than Jesus wept, right? Now, you got your first one, right? That's the shortest Scripture in the Bible. But you need to memorize some Scripture. But the truth is you don't just need to memorize another Scripture. You need to begin to live it out. You need to begin to apply it in your life. And so that's my goal this morning, is to begin to preach something into you that I think will be valuable to you. If you do want to follow along in the notes, I'll just take a second here and highlight, because we have moved our digital notes to the Church Center app. And they used to be on YouVersion. YouVersion is incredible. If you don't have that, you certainly want that. It's got all the Bible, translations of the Bible and all that. But our notes are now on the Church Center app, which everybody in this church should have, because it's how you register. It's how you check in your kids if you're a parent. It's how you get to know all the things, communicate with your small group. All kinds of stuff are there. So you want to download that app. It's on Android, on the Android. It's on Apple. It's on all the places. And when you download it, you'll find underneath on the bottom right, there's three dots, and that's where you're going to find the sermon outline. And you can go there, and it's got fill in the blanks. You can email it to yourself. You can download a PDF. You know, you can do so many different things with it. You can email it to your, you know, your friends. You can say, you know, you need to listen, whatever. But that's how you get a hold of it. Okay. And I do want to encourage you to take notes. Like I said, it's going to be a simple outline today. I got only three points. I don't even know what we're going to do with the rest of our time. But I do have 3 points this morning. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. And I want to have you open up as we begin to 2 Chronicles. I have a physical Bible up here, and I like digital Bibles. I so appreciate my phone, all the translations that are available. I love it. I can look up a verse in just a mere seconds. I love Google to, if I can remember 3 words of a scripture verse, I can find it in a matter of like 5 seconds with Google. It's an incredible tool. But I want to encourage you to start bringing your paper Bible to church. Because there's something about underlining and circling and highlighting and getting it out in front of you that can be very, very encouraging and valuable to you. The next time you go through your Bible, 5 years from now when you go through your Bible and you find that place where you underlined and you dated it and you highlighted it and you circled it and God spoke something to you, it's still there and you can see it. And it just doesn't work, at least for me, that same way in the digital world. So, I'm not against technology. I think I'm for it. But in general, I would encourage you to do that. Turn with me, either on your digital device or your physical Bible, to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, it'll be on the screen as well. And I just want to begin by reading you a couple of verses. Verse 9, it says this: Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with an army of thousands upon thousands and 300 chariots. Now, Old Testament here, we're talking about an army that's coming against Judah, the kingdom of Judah in Israel, the people of God. And the Cushites, we're not familiar with that. We don't use that term today. Some translations will say Ethiopians. It basically refers to the people in the Horn of Africa. So here's a vast army. It says thousands upon thousands. Well, it doesn't say an exact number. We just know it was a pretty significantly large army, much, much, much larger than the army of the people of God, of the kingdom of Judah. It was certainly very common for Eastern armies to be made up of hundreds of thousands, if not even a million soldiers. And so we just know that this was a lot of people that were coming against King Asa, who was the king of Judah at that point. And he was vastly outnumbered, and you know, he was, I think, a little afraid because he knew that by himself he did not have the resources to meet this army. In verse 11 it says this: Then Asa called to the Lord his God. Now let me just say, if you got a problem, if you run into an issue, the best thing to do is always to call out to the Lord your God. Right? No matter what the situation is, you got a relationship problem, you got a problem at work, you got a problem at home, you got a problem with your kids, you got a problem with your money. The best thing to do is not to call a friend. The best thing to do is not to talk to your neighbor. The best thing to do is not to curse. The best thing to do is to call to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he's the one that has the answers. He's the one that can deliver. He's the one that always responds to those who call out to him. He's the one that's near us. He sticks closer to us than a brother. He's the one that's present with us. He's the smartest person in the universe. He knows everything, right? If you're a barista, he knows how to make better coffee than you do. You might as well talk to him, right? If you're a blue-collar worker, whatever you do, if you're a scientist, you talk to him because he knows all the science. He knows how to change tires. He knows how to do it all. So talk to the one who knows how to do the stuff. It's always smart to start with calling out to the Lord when you're in trouble. So King Asa does the right thing. He calls out to the Lord. And it records his prayer here. It says this: Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. And then verse 12, the Lord responds and says this: The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. God answered his prayer. He comes and he delivers them from this vast army. Now, King Asa then goes on to be a successful king for a lot of years, and he begins to become wealthy and powerful, and he enjoys the success of his position as king. And 26 years later, this happens, and it's just two chapters later in 2 Chronicles 16. If you want to skip down there, we're going to look right at the beginning. It says this. This is 26 years later. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah. In other words, here's another army that comes against King Asa. Now, you would think that Asa would have learned his lesson. Boy, he remember what happened with the Cushites? That he would call out to the Lord. But look what he does. Verse 2, Asa then took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and out of his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. He had become wealthy, become successful. He seems like he kind of forgot the very basic principle of what you do when you get into trouble. You don't rely on yourself, your own resources, what you've learned, all those kinds of things. You rely on God. He forgot that, and he went into his treasury, and he got silver and gold, and he decided that when he was in trouble, instead of calling out to the Lord, he would try to buy a mercenary army. And so he sends money to a kingdom that's next door and calls them to come and help. Verse 3, let there be a treaty between me and you. Well, if we skip down to verse 7, there's a prophet named Hanani who comes to Asa, king of Judah, and he says this to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. They didn't defeat them. We're not, and then he reminds them, we're not the Cushites and Libyans, a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen. Yet, when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And then he says this, and I want actually us to all read this together, and it's going to be on the screens. It's on verse 9 there. So let's read this in a loud voice. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Would you read that with me one more time? For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Fully committed to him. In other words, God is looking. He's constantly looking. One translation says, his eyes range to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whom he can show himself strong on their behalf. He's looking for people who will look to him. He's looking for people who decide to rely on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who realize that it's not silver and gold, our resources, our education, our knowledge, our family, anything that we've done, any success that we've had that's going to deliver us out of situations, that's going to move us forward into the next thing, who realize that the only true answer is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when people realize that, it says God's eyes stop and they pay attention and he begins to deliver them. He begins to bless them. He begins to move in their life. He begins to strengthen them. He begins to move on their behalf. The eyes of the Lord are looking for people, like King Asa at the beginning, who would say, God, I'm standing on your word. I'm looking to you. I'm not going to look to the right or to the left. And let me read one more verse to you at Jeremiah 29:11. You might be familiar with this verse. We print it out. We put it on our wall. We memorize it. It's everywhere. It's all the time. It's a theme that we find throughout Scripture over and over and over again. It says this, for I know, this is the Lord speaking, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, sometimes we think that God has bad plans for us. I think, you know, sometimes we grow up with an understanding that God is a mean God who's waiting for us to mess up so he can squash us like a bug. He's waiting for an opportunity to mess up our lives as soon as we step out of line. But the reality is, as the prophet Jeremiah tells us, that's not how God thinks about you at all. I don't know how you think about God today, if you think that he has good thoughts about you or he has bad thoughts about you. The truth is, his thoughts for you are good, not to harm you, but a plan to give you hope and a future. And verse 12 says this, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Somebody say, all your heart. See, the same thing that happened with King Asa, the same thing that the prophet Jeremiah says here, the Lord is looking for people who are have hearts that are fully committed to him. He's looking for people who are calling out to him with all of their heart. He's looking for people who are going to draw near to him. That's what James says in the New Testament, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. My topic today is this: how big is your want to? How big is your want to? Now, that's a little, I would say, a little old-timey in the way it sounds. It's because I got it from an old-timey Pentecostal preacher named John Osteen, and I thought this message is so good, I got to preach it into some people this morning. So this message, I need you to basically kind of be engaged with me this morning, all right? So you can talk back at me a little bit. I mean, don't talk back at me too much, right? I mean, not too much. But this is something that what I want is for you to receive what I'm preaching to you, and I want you not only just to listen, I want you to engage yourself in it. I want you to say, you know what, amen. I want you to say, that's right. I want you to sort of step into this, because I'm going to preach some faith into you today. I'm going to preach some substance into you today. I'm going to preach something into you that will help you not quit, because I know that we live in the kind of world where we're tempted to quit all the time, we're tempted to give up, we've listened to the enemy and we've bought into his lies, or we've listened to our friends or our neighbors or our family that's told us you're never going to do that, you might as well give up on that dream, you might as well give up on your marriage, you might as well give up on your finances, you might as well give up on relationships. And oftentimes we have listened to them, and the Lord wants you to know today, you need to have a strong want to. You need to have a strong don't quit that's inside of you, because when you do, the Lord God pays attention. His eyes see what you're doing, and he says, I'm going to move on your behalf. John Osteen is the preacher that I'm stealing this message from this morning. He's actually Joel Osteen's dad. Some of you might know Joel Osteen. He's the preacher with the southern drawl and the mullet on TV. And if you like Joel Osteen, right, John is even better. And if you don't like Joel Osteen, John is way better than Joel. And because this message is something that is something I want you to hear this morning. Now listen, God is looking for people who will follow him with their whole heart. He's not looking for perfect people. He's not looking for religious people. He's not looking for people who have an education or a title, or who have jumped through society's hoops. He's not looking for people who have helped themselves. Even that's one of the things that we believe. God is looking for people who are willing to get up again and again after they've been knocked down. He's wanting to find people who are willing to keep running after him and his purposes, who are willing to do things according to his way and his word. He's looking for people who are uncompromising in their commitment to the Lord. He's looking for people who have set their faces like flint and said, I'm going to walk on the ways of God. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 50. It says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. Determined to do his will. How determined are you today? How big is your want to today? Do you want what God wants in your life strong enough not to give up? The truth is, I think many times we will pray for something one or two or three times, maybe even as many as 10 times, and then we'll give up. It's just so easy for us to be discouraged that even when God speaks something to us, we see maybe something in his word and we say, that's for me. I'm going to be set free. I'm not going to deal with this thing anymore. I'm not going to let go of the promises of God. The scripture says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. And we see that and we reach out for it and we begin to press into it. And we think we're doing pretty good because we're done it for 3 days and 4 days and 7 days and 10 days. And then we get tired. And then we say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Maybe God doesn't want to do it. Maybe that one's not for me. I mean, the truth is that we're going to have to get a little bit stronger in our want to. We're going to have to build our faith just a little bit more that God is actually working on our behalf, that he's working things out in our favor, that he is not delaying in bringing good things to us, but we're going to have to actually stand and stand and stand until we see the hand of God comes through in the way that he desires to do it. How strong is your want to? How strong is your want to for your marriage? And many times we'll think, man, I'd like to have a great marriage, but do you really want a great marriage? Because if you haven't noticed, a great marriage takes a lot of work. A great marriage requires you to die to yourself and die some more. But many times we don't have a strong want to in our marriage. Many times we want our marriage to be the way that we want it to be. We want our marriage to be something that God doesn't want it to be. We want it the way that we want it. Our want to isn't very strong. And so when things get rough, we start listening to our friends. We start listening to the culture. We start listening to the world. And they're telling us things like, hey, it's not working out. Hey, man, you don't love her anymore. You don't love him anymore. That they must not be for you. You must have made the wrong decision to begin with. Maybe it's time to start over. Maybe it's time to move on. And we give up way too easily. How strong is your want to for your marriage? God wants you to fight for your marriage. God doesn't want you to give up on your marriage. God doesn't want you to move on in your marriage. He wants you to receive a miracle in the midst of the mess of your marriage and see your marriage succeed. Listen, I know a man whose marriage was dead, like dead, buried. There was nothing left. His wife didn't love him anymore. A year had passed. They weren't living together anymore. It didn't. I talked to her. I thought, oh God, this ain't gonna work. Unless you, Jesus, show up and actually appear like you did at the tomb of Lazarus and call Lazarus from the dead, this marriage is done and over with. I don't see it happening. This is not a matter of, I'm going to write another note. I'm going to take her out on a date. This thing was over. Well, this man had a strong want to. He said, I'm not going to let go. He knew he had messed up. It wasn't as if there was a perfect marriage. It was a mess of a marriage. It was a mess of a history. It was a mess that had gone on before. But he knew that God had given him this wife, and he wasn't going to let go. And he knew that it looked impossible. And he decided that he was going to meet with God. He was going to take God at his word. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whom he can show himself strong on their behalf. And he decided that he was going to get with God. He decided he was going to press into his presence. He decided he was going to find the Spirit of God, and so he began to pray. Now, he didn't pray for 5 minutes and give up. He didn't pray for 10 minutes and give up. He didn't pray for an hour. He decided, you know, I'm going to meet with the Lord. An hour after, for 3 days, he prayed and fasted. And he was so determined. He was so determined that he said, I'm going to have to get with God. And you know what? Jesus showed up. His marriage is healed. There's been a miracle that has happened in his marriage. Because he had a strong want to. How strong is your want to? I mean, my goodness. Sometimes we just give up way too soon. We just forget, we must not be compatible. Come on. Must not be compatible. How about our finances? How strong is your want to in your finances? To get God's blessing in your finances. I mean, oftentimes when it comes to our finances, we'll pray things like, oh, God, would you bless my finances? You know, and oh, Lord, you know, I claim your word. But we won't actually do anything to make that happen. We don't have a strong want to. We won't do anything other than buy everything that we see, everything that we're attracted to. How strong is your want to? Do you know how to cut up your credit cards? How about this? How about selling that car that you love so much that the bank actually owns, you can't afford, and the only reason that you are driving it is because of your vanity? Well, a want-to who wants to get your finances in order decides, you know what, this is not the way to do things. I'm going to have to do something different. I'm going to have to do it according to God's word. Maybe it's time for me to sell that car. Maybe it's time for me to start tithing and giving the first thing to the Lord. Maybe start to get my finances in order, restrict myself, start to arrange my finances so then God can actually bless me. But oftentimes we don't have a strong want-to. We're just out of control. We're just honestly too greedy. We're not willing to do the work. We're going to have a strong want to. You want to get healed in your body? You want to receive a healing in your body? You have to have a strong want to. You have to be willing to actually press for what the Lord has for you. You have to be willing to go beyond what sometimes is comfortable, what makes sense mentally, what people are telling you. You're going to have to press beyond and into something different. Mark chapter 5 tells us the story of the woman with the blood disorder. Many of you might know that story. It was a woman who was very, very sick. For 12 years, she had gone to visit every doctor that she could find. She had spent every dime that she had trying to get rid of this terrible disease. And after 12 years, she doesn't have any more money. She's not any better. She's just as sick as she was before, but she had a strong want to. She was determined to get better. You know how it is going to the doctor. They're poking, they prod you, they take your money, they say, see you later. And oftentimes, you're still stuck with the same thing that you're stuck before. This was this woman's situation. She didn't know what to do, but she knew that she was going to get free from her sickness. And she heard about Jesus, and she heard that he was healing people. And so she was determined to get close to him. She was determined to receive healing from him. So she traveled from where she was, and she came to find Jesus, and Jesus is surrounded by a crowd of people. Jesus was always surrounded by a crowd of people. There's always a bunch of people around Jesus. Of course, he's doing amazing things. He's healing people. Not easy to get to Jesus, but she was determined. She had a strong want to. She was determined to get close to him, and so she pressed through the crowd. If you've ever been a large crowd of people with thousands of people, it's not easy to get somewhere that the crowd doesn't want you to get to. You're pressing against a wave of people, against an ocean of people. But she had determined in her heart that she wasn't going to let anything get in her way, that she was going to get better. She was going to get rid of the sickness. She was going to get a hold of Jesus, the hem of his garment. She said, if I just reach out and if I just even touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And she pressed through the crowd until she got close enough just to barely touch the hem of his garment. And she was healed in that instant. Jesus said, Whoa, I just felt healing go out of me. What happened? She was so determined that she pressed against all of the obstacles. She wasn't going to give up. She wasn't going to give in. She wasn't going to be distracted. She wasn't going to be dismayed. She wasn't going to be discouraged just because she was delayed, just because things were against her, just because the last 12 years hadn't turned out. She decided, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to find my healing. And because of that, she got healed. Because of that, she found what she was looking for. If you're going to take notes, and I know some of you like to take notes, this is my big note, my big outline. Number one, a strong want to presses in. I told you those 3 points. Number one is this. A strong want to presses in. Listen, you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to keep pressing in. God has some things he wants to do in your life. He's got some things he wants to adjust and change and move. He's got some things that he wants to do that are good in your future. He wants to do some things with your kids. He wants to do some things in your marriage. But you're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to get on. You're going to have to press in. You're going to have to decide, I'm not going to listen to what the enemy says. I'm not going to listen to what my family's telling me. I'm not going to listen to what the culture is telling me. I'm going to listen to what the Word of God says. I'm going to press into what the King of Kings says. There's somebody that I know that's greater than the spirit of this world, and that's the Spirit of God, and he lives in me, and greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And I'm going to go his way. I'm not going to go anybody else's way. I'm not going to listen to anybody else. I'm not going to be quiet, but I'm going to press in because he has good things in store. You know what it says in Psalms? It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. In other words, you're going to have lots of trouble in this life. Right? You think that something's wrong because things are bad, God forgot you. No. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous. So it's not because you're not perfect that things are going wrong. No, everybody's going to have problems. You got family problems? I got family problems too, right? You got health problems? I know what health problems are like, right? You got money problems? My money's been funny too. All of us have issues. The verse says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. There is, in fact, deliverance. There is, in fact, an answer. God is, in fact, working on your behalf. He does want you to receive deliverance, but you're going to have to press. You're going to have to decide, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going on. Listen, at your chairs, there's these little pieces of paper, right? The little verses. Some of you were here at the beginning when we picked them up. Some of you weren't. Everybody grab one of those little verses. They're like little pieces of trash. They're not actually pieces of trash. They're verses that are on your seats. You see those? There's probably like 8 or 10 or 12 different verses. They're around. It's probably under your rear end if you don't know where it's at. Just kind of move around for a second. You'll find it. These are faith verses Okay? If you want to find faith verses, you know what you do? You Google faith verses. Some of these I came up with just out of my memory, but it's a lot easier just to Google faith verses. These are great verses. These are great verses. These are verses that tell you who you are in Jesus. These are verses that tell you that God's not going to fail. Just like we sang today, he's not going to fail. These are verses that remind you that God is a consuming fire, that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, that he's at work despite what I see with my eyes, that God draws near to those who draw near to him. See, these are the verses that will build your faith. They'll strengthen your want to, right? Because a lot of times when we're in the struggle, when we're tired, when we're fatigued, when we're sick, when it's been a long time since we've seen an answer, we want to give up. We're depressed. We get under it. Anybody feel under it? You know what it's like to get under it. When you're under it, you don't feel like you can do anything, and you begin to give up. Let me tell you what you do. You get verses like these, and you begin to feed yourself. You begin to read this into yourself. You begin to declare these verses over yourself. Jeremiah says, "Your words were found, and I did eat them. They were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." You got to eat some different kind of nutrition, guys, when you're feeling depressed and down. When the world has got you, when it's all on top of you, when you're feeling like, I can't get out of this thing. I'm addicted. I've got this thing in my life that I can't get rid of. My marriage is broken. My life is broken. You better get some faith inside of you. You better start feeding yourself some kind of life. You better start eating something different. And that's what you just start to declare them to yourself. You start, that's pressing in. That's part of encouraging your faith. It's part of beginning to move into a different direction. You spend 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes feeding yourself some good spiritual food, suddenly you'll find your perspective is a little bit different. You find, I got faith. You know what, God? You can't. As a matter of fact, yes, Lord, you don't fail. You do show up. You deliver people out of darkness. You move mountains that can't be moved in the natural. You open doors that no man can shut. You heal marriages that are dead. You bring things back to life that are impossible. Oh, all of a sudden you go, I got faith in my heart. Why? Because you started to feed yourself. It's time we get a little bit stronger, want to. It's time we learn how to feed ourselves the Word of God so that we don't quit when we shouldn't quit, because I tell you what, God has something for you that's better than what you're experiencing right now, but you won't see it if you quit. You won't see it if you give up. You won't see it if you turn to the right or to the left. You're going to have to press in. Psalms 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. He's got good things for you. He promises to do it. You put yourself on his path. You do things his way. You keep pressing in to him. You're going to find they're good things. And he's not going to withhold them from you. There's a story in Mark chapter 10 about a blind man. Some of you might know the story. Blind Bartimaeus, blind Bart. He was the town blind man. And every day he would sit in the same place begging, and whenever, you know, that you would walk by blind Bart, you'd know, yep, there he is in the same place. He would be right there at the entrance to town because that's the place where people walk by. That's the best place to beg. And so he'd have his hands out. He set up himself up there every day. And he heard about Jesus, and he heard about how Jesus was healing people, and they were receiving their miracles, and lepers were being freed of their disease, and people were walking who were lame, and all this kind of thing. And he's sitting there one day, and he hears that Jesus is coming through his town. And he hears the crowd begin to draw close to him. Now, he's blind, and so he doesn't know exactly where Jesus is, but he knows Jesus is within range because the crowd suddenly has arrived, and wherever Jesus is, there's a crowd. And so blind Bartimaeus begins to scream, and he begins to shout, and he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around him said, shut up. And you know what the scripture says? It says he shouted all the more. He just got louder. He said, you're not going to tell me to shut up. And so he just began to scream even louder. Jesus, son of David, would you have mercy on me? I'm over here. I got a problem. I want to see. I don't know what to do. I don't have an answer. I can't come out of this by myself. But God, you're the King of Kings. Jesus, you're here. Would you please? And Jesus hears him because he's making a noise. And Jesus calls him over. And he comes over. Now, and this is fascinating. They lead blind Bartimaeus to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "What do you want?" Now, I think it was pretty obvious what he wanted, right? He couldn't even make it over to Jesus by himself. He had to be led by the hand, and yet Jesus looks at him and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He requires that he be specific in his request. He requires blind Bartimaeus to verbalize what it is that he wants the Lord to do. Point number two in my massive outline this morning is a strong want to gets specific. A strong want to gets specific. Jesus knew what Bart needed. He knew that he was blind, but something about saying what it is that you want the Lord to do is so very important. And many, many times, we won't be specific with God. And I think the Lord loves to hear us say what it is that we want him to do. I have kids, and I'll ask them sometimes, "Well, you know, what do you want? What do you want to eat?"
"I don't know."
"Hey, I'm going to the store. I'm going to get some soda. What kind of soda do you want?"
"I don't know."
"Hey, you know what? Just feed yourself. You drink water. Like, I'm not interested in satisfying what..."
"You don't even want me."
I think that the Lord loves his children to say specifically what it is that they are requesting him to do. "God, I need a miracle in my marriage. I need you to change my heart. Lord Jesus, I need a healing in my body. My feet, they hurt right now. God, I'm asking that you move in this situation. I don't know how to forgive this person. Lord, would you help me to forgive this person because I don't seem to be able to do it on my own. Lord, I got this problem over here with this addiction and this terminal tendency that keeps messing up my life. Lord, I need you to set me free." It's time to get specific. It's time to start walking into the thing that God is asking you to say what it is that you want. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Ask," and it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Now, the ask is actually a continuous verb. It says, it really means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. He says, you got to keep asking. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep knocking. You got to be specific in what it is that you want God to do in your life. Generalities oftentimes will not move the hand of God. He wants you to say what it is that you want in your life. I was reading recently, our book for last month for our spiritual biography was called The Heavenly Man by Brother Yun, who's a Chinese Christian. And by the way, I don't normally sell books, but if we have a couple of these, if you want one of those, they're available. That way I don't have to send them back to Amazon and eat the money. You can read it. In this book, there's an incredible story. Brother Yun comes to know Jesus because his mother tells her family about the Lord. But this is during a time in China, right after the Cultural Revolution, where the communists had basically eradicated Christianity, or for the most part, from the nation. They had basically destroyed all the Bibles that they could find. They had made it illegal to read a Bible. They'd thrown out all the missionaries out of the country. They were requiring that everyone read the Red Book, Chairman Mao's Red Book, and nothing else. And so any of the Christians that had Bibles, they basically took them and they buried them because they knew if they were found with them, they would be imprisoned, maybe beaten, maybe even killed. And so Christianity, there were just people didn't, it was a very dark time. They didn't even know anything about it. There were no churches that were happening. And Brother Yun's mom grew up in a missionary orphanage, and so she knew enough about Jesus to share that with her family and to get them saved, to get them to know Christ. But they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a church to go to. They didn't have any Christian brothers and sisters. And there was something about this young boy. He had a very strong want to for the Word of God. He knew he needed the Word of God because he had heard his mom talk about the Bible. And so he started to pray, God, would you give us a Bible? Well, there were no Bibles around, and they weren't available. It wasn't like today. You just go, I mean, my goodness, it's incredible. We can get so many Bibles and so many different translations. It's ridiculous. He began to pray. His mom saw the hunger that he had in his heart, and she remembered a man that used to be a pastor who lived in a village next to theirs. And so she took the boy to the pastor in the hopes that maybe he would show him his Bible and it would satisfy the young boy. And so they went, and the pastor said to him, you know what, he said, you're just going to have to ask God. He said, you're going to have to pray about it. Don't you love that when somebody tells you you're going to have to pray about it? And this is what he said. He says, the Bible is a heavenly book. If you want one, you will have to pray to the God of heaven. God is faithful. He always answers those who seek him with all of their heart. It kind of sounds like scripture, right? Some of the verses that we've been reading this morning. This is what he says. He says, well, just go and pray. Well, he goes and he begins to pray, and he doesn't barely even know how to pray. I mean, this young man didn't even know how to pray, but he just prays a simple prayer every night for a month. His mom saw that he just wouldn't give up on this thing. And so after a month, they go back to the guy who used to be a pastor, and they say, well, we've been praying for a month. And he says, well, how about you pray and fast? So he leaves, and for the next 3 months, he prays and he fasts, eating just one little meal a day, crying out to the Lord. He was getting just so passionate about this thing. His parents actually thought the kid was losing his mind. I mean, they just think, what is this kid doing? He wants God's word. He's praying for a Bible. He won't give up. He prays for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months. All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. And there's two, they open the door, and there's two men standing there, and they have a Bible that they hand to Yoon. These two men were sent by an evangelist who lived in many, many miles away, who had had a dream months earlier. And in that dream, the Lord told him, he showed him the village where Yoon lived and showed him a picture of the house, specific enough to where he could describe the house to these two brothers, that he was supposed to give the Bible to the people in this house. For 3 months, he had wrestled with God because he did not want to give up his one and only Bible. For 3 months, he had decided, he was like, no, I can't. Finally, he gave in and sent the Bible. Can you imagine if Yoon had given up on that prayer? If he prayed for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, for a month, maybe even 2 months, I'm not sure that Bible would have shown up. There are things that God wants to do in your life, but he's also saying, well, how badly do you want it? Are you really willing to press in? Are you going to give up so easily? You're going to give up on your kids so easily? You're going to give up on your marriage so easily? You're going to give up on your miracle so easily? He actually has the answer. But if we're not willing to press into it, we're not going to receive it. The enemy will do whatever he can to keep you from asking, to keep you from seeking, to keep you from knocking. Number three is this: a strong want to keeps on knocking. Keeps on knocking. I read that verse, Matthew chapter 7. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. There's an answer that God has, but oftentimes we just quit knocking. We start listening to what the enemy says. We listen to what our friends say. We listen to the doubts that are in our own heart. There's so many times when instead of knocking, we give up because the enemy starts to talk to us. He'll tell us that we're knocking on the wrong door. He'll tell us that we're asking for the wrong thing. He'll tell us that God's not interested in the thing that we're asking him to do. He'll tell us, you don't deserve it. You ever heard that one? You don't deserve it. You're not a good enough follower. You're not a good enough Christian. He'll distract us with things that are not quite as good, but they don't require us to wait. That's oftentimes a tactic of the enemy. It's a deal. Oftentimes we'll make a deal with the enemy. We'll make a deal with our own, you know, stick-to-itiveness. We'll just give up too soon. We'll think, well, this is kind of like that. This is sort of good enough, and we'll end up living good enough lives. We'll just live kind of okay lives. Yeah, when I go to the restaurant, I don't want to go to a good enough restaurant. Nobody asks, you know, just tell me just kind of like a middle-of-the-road restaurant. I don't want a great restaurant. I don't want a great marriage. I just want just kind of a middle-of-the-road marriage. You know, I don't want to have great friendships. I just want to have, you know, just some mediocre friendships. I don't want to really have my finances in order. I just want to have enough to get by. Just enough. Nobody wants that. But oftentimes what we'll do, and God doesn't want that for you either. I just want you to know that. God doesn't want that for you either. God wants you to live in his blessing. He wants you to live in his victory, in his strength, right? And so what we'll do oftentimes is we'll just sort of live good enough. And we end up making a deal with the enemy. We end up making a deal with something that's less than what God has for us, rather than saying, you know what? Doggone it, I'm not giving up. God gave this promise to me. His word says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. His word says that he's got good things in store for me. His word says that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm a conqueror, that I'm an overcomer, that I'm going to walk in victory. His word says that he is the champion and he's fighting for me, that he's in heaven praying for me and he's moving heaven and earth for me, that he's prepared in advance good works for me to do. And you know what? I'm not going to give up to what the enemy says. I'm not going to give up because it got difficult. I'm not going to give up because I got knocked down. I'm not going to give up because the circumstances are ugly. I'm not going to give up because of what's going on around me. I'm going to keep pressing because my God told me that I'm supposed to get up again, that I'm supposed to keep pressing, I'm supposed to keep knocking, I'm supposed to keep asking, I'm supposed to keep seeking, and he's going to deliver us. He's got good things in store for those who are willing to press. But I think God's looking for some people who are willing to take him at his word. He's looking for some people who are saying, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to quit. Things don't look good. Yeah, that's all right. I know God is greater than what I see with my eyes. I know that he's at work even though I can't see it right now, because he never fails. He never turns his back on his people. He's always faithful. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me, his rod and his staff. They guide me, they support me, they strengthen me. He's never going to turn his back on me. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's with me no matter what. Even in the midst of the storm, he's there. Even when it's dark at night, the darkness is not dark to him. It is as light to him. He's the kind of God that takes things that are impossible and he makes them possible. He moves mountains that are unmovable. He does things that nobody on earth can do, because that's the kind of God that he is, and he loves to do it for his kids, and he's waiting for a people who would take him at his word, would say, yeah, you know what? That's right. I've fallen, but I'm going to get up again, right? I've messed up, but you know what? It's not over. I'm going to get back in line. Yes, sir. I'm back in your army. I'm working again. I'm moving again. I'm holding on to the promises that you have for me. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Don't give up yet, guys. Don't give up. Now, I want you to make a declaration. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. And I think that we should actually tell ourselves and tell the enemy that we're serious. I think actually that we should make some confessions this morning. Let me just read this to you, and then we're going to make a confession together. This is written by Bob Moorhead. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. It says, I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought. compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. No problem recognizing me. Listen, I want you to make some declarations this morning. I want to make some confessions this morning. I want you to say, you know what, enemy, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on my kids. You can't have my kids. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my relationships. You can't mess with my money. You're not going to mess with my health. You can't have my husband. You can't have my wife. You can't have my future. You can't have my present. Enemy, you are banished in the name of Jesus. You already know your end. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has already declared that your end is going to be in the lake of fire, but my end is going to be in rejoicing in heaven. And so I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not turning to the left or to the right. I'm pressing on to the upward call of the goal that you've given me, Lord Jesus. So I just want you to say this. You might even just take your fist like this and just kind of hold it out as if you're just saying to the enemy, enemy, you better take me seriously. And I want you to make this confession. I want you to say this. I have a want to. Come on. I have a want to. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to give in to the spirit of the world. I'm a child of God. I'm going to stay submitted to God. Enemy, in Jesus' name, I resist you. Enemy, I command you to let go. Let go of my kids. Let go of my marriage. Let go of my family. Let go of my finances. Let go of my relationships. I'm a child of God. I'm an overcomer. I'm a victor in Jesus' name. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm going to listen to the King of Kings. And I just want to tell you guys, you're being delivered in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you guys, there's something different that's happening inside of you. God's looking for people who are willing to continue to stand and fight. Let's stand and fight, guys. It's not time to give up. It's not time to give in. We're not throwing in the towel. The thing is not over. The game is not over. Life is not over. God is on the move. He's working. He wants to work in your life. He wants to work in your family. He wants to work in your body. He's looking for people who will say, I'm not giving up. Thank you, Jesus. Now, come on. Just lift up a shout. I'm not giving up. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, shout a little bit louder. Put your hands together. We make a declaration. Jesus, you're the King. You're the Master. You're the Victor. You're the Champion. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that in you we have the victory. We're not quitters. We're not going to be defeated by the world. We're not going to believe the lies of the enemy. You, Jesus, are the one. You, Jesus, are the Champion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes just for a moment. Thank you, God, for a people who are willing to draw near to you. God, we just ask that you would give us a deposit of strength inside of our spirits. Lord, help us to set our faces like flint, like stone. Give us a resolve that says we're not going to let go. Oh, God, we're going to keep getting up over and over again. We're going to keep pushing forward. We're not going to be the kind of people that are found on the wayside. We're not going to give up our families or marriages or our lives. We're going to keep pressing into what you have. Lord, I just pray that you put that inside of each one of us, that you give us a new vision and a new hope and a new sight, that you begin to deposit within us, Lord, that kind of excitement and passion, that faith that says, I'm not going to let go because God has good things in store for me. Lord, would you make us that kind of people? Would you make us that kind of people? Lord, I just pray wherever there has been doubt, wherever there has been failure, Lord, that you would right now bring faith, that you'd bring a renewed sense that you're working, Lord. you're working, and we're going to press into you. God, where those that are here that have been ready to give up, Lord, even just this week, they just have been tempted to give up. I just pray right now, Lord, you just reaffirm that you're not done with them, that you're still working. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you're sick in your body and you just have been standing and asking God for a healing miracle in your body, would you just raise your hand? Just say, Lord, I'm standing. I'm just reminding myself. I'm standing here against the enemy. I'm raising my hand saying, Lord, you're working in my body right now. Lord, we just pray for our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. There'd be the healing power of God that would fill right now, that would restore, that would bring life in the name of Jesus. Lord, for every sick area of our bodies, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing. We ask for a miracle. We ask for deliverance. We ask for freedom from pain, Lord, that's chronic, for issues that seem to be insurmountable, that cancer would be gone in the name of Jesus, that MS would be gone in the name of Jesus, that kidney failure, Lord, would be gone. We'd see new kidneys in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Put your hands down just for a moment. If you're just reaching out for finances today, your money's a mess, you know you're a mess, but you're just asking for help and you're saying, God, I'm going to be serious about this. Raise your hand and just say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do things your way. I'm going to get things back into order. I have a strong want to. I'm not just going to give in to what the world says. I'm not just going to buy whatever I see. I'm not going to do things the same way that I've done them in the past. Lord, I just pray you'd come and that you'd bring life in the midst of the brokenness of our money. Lord, we know so often money is a terrible master, and many of us have been put into slavery and put ourselves into slavery. We're asking for freedom right now. We're asking for a new kind of process. We're asking for strength to say no to our wants and our desires. And Lord, we're asking that you would come and that you would partner with us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your life. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your victory. Make us that kind of people who will not quit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Get out of here.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.